the water keeps coming down. This is a storm we've had coming in the last 2 days. And, oh, I'm going to have my coffee before I start reading. I want to do a reading this morning before I have to run off to school. Standing by the hall heater, the wall heater, the old wall heater. One thing nice about a wall heater, you can stand up next to it and have it warm your whole backside. Yeah. It's a wet morning, cold, wet morning. And, oh, I've been sort of taking my time getting out of my warm bed this morning, listening to the rain, looking at news, getting my coffee ready. So this morning, before I run off to work at the school, which I was called back again to do another day today, this teacher is having trouble. Well, not trouble, she's having some personal issues at home with her son is fighting cancer. So she's asked if I could come in a couple of days and while she gets her son. It's been a few times she's asked me. Well, he's going through chemo treatment, I guess. And, oh, boy. I can barely get rolling this morning. And I can hear the rain. The rain. French roast this morning. It's going to be a French roast day. Yes. Yeah. Heating up the water. And let me grab my Growing Pains book. I was going to do it last night. I got so sleepy. I thought, no, I'll still do it in the morning. It's been a week or so since I've read the last chapter. I don't even know where we are. To get myself back into the swing of it here with this Growing Pains. It's what happens to me when I read. I sometimes get halfway through the book and then it sits for a while and I'm like, oh. I think we left off with, are you saved? That seems right. Are you saved? Oh boy, listen to that rain come down. Let me see. It's coming down off my... Oh, it's coming in the window. I closed my door. Must be windy out there as well. The thing is that I'd prefer to stay home today and be here in the studio instead of having to venture out into the wild wind of rainy day. Is brewing. Okay, so let me find my place and we shall begin. My phone is wet. The new chapter is called Queen Victoria. one day when Wadi and I were crossing Leadenhall Street, we were halted by a bobby to let a carriage pass. Come here, Maggie. Good morning. Come here. She's looking at the window. Come here. She's looking at the window with all the water coming down. She's been whining about it. She's like, I can't go out. It's raining. Come here. Come here. Do you want to be up in my lap? No. She just wants to whine. You want to be up in my lap? Come here. Okay, come here. Come here, little girl. You want to record yourself? Everybody hears you every time I say anything because you're always in the background. Yeah. I put my book down. Sorry, I'll have to start again. She's in my lap and she's getting some love, so maybe she was feeling a little out of sorts with this rain coming down. Mommy rushing around to make breakfast before she leaves. Yeah. Clomp. There she goes. So let's see. They crossed Leadenhall Street where we were halted by a bobby to let a carriage pass. The wheels grazed our impatient haste. We looked up petulantly into the carriage and our eyes met those of Queen Victoria, smiling down on us. Chatter ceased, our breath held when Her Majesty smiled right into our surprised faces. She gave us a private, most gracious bow, not a majestic sweeping one to be shared by the crowd. The personal smile of a mother lady who, having raised a family, loves all boys and girls. The carriage rolled on. Wadi and I stared, first up to the carriage, then at one another. Carlite, the Queen! How motherly was my impression. The garish, regal chromos on Mrs. Mitchell's walls had been queens only. This kindly old lady in a black bonnet was woman as well as queen. Wadi had never before seen the queen close. She had been only one of a bellowing multitude watching her pass. She was tremendously excited. Having just won her final South Kensington teaching certificate, she was tiptoey anyhow, and she was going out to a married brother in India for a year. I had moved to Mrs. Dodd's big boarding house for students in Bulstrode Street. Wadi had run up to London to bid me goodbye. Mrs. Radcliffe, surrounded by the daily newspapers, was as near tears as I could imagine her being. Mrs. Denny, opposite, was openly crying, curls bobbing, handkerchief mopping, the delicate little face all puckered. In the students' boarding house, all was silent, the usual clatter stilled. London had hushed. England was waiting, and Queen Victoria lay dying. Bulletins were posted every hour on the gates of Buckingham Palace. We stole out in twos and threes all through the day to read them. The ones at home looked up on our return, saw there was no change, looked down again. Everyone was restless. Fräulein Ziegler, the German, at present cubicled in our room in Bulstrode Street, was retrimming her winter hat. From his mothball wrappings, she took a small green parrot with red beak and glassy eyes. Smoothing his lackluster plumage, she said, So or so, girls? Twisting the mangy bird's stare fore then aft. Advising heads poked out between cubicle curtains. Nobody's interest in the German woman's hat was keen. Well, I have my two girls here now, so let's see what they do. Next paragraph, or section here. Extry, Her Majesty gone, shrilled the newsboys. Everyone took a penny and went out to buy a black-bordered extry. Then they read the bulletin posted on the gate, which said, Osborne, January 23rd, 1901. My beloved mother has just passed away, surrounded by her children and grandchildren. Signed, Albert Edward. The following morning, passing through St. James Park on my way to school, I was halted for a passing carriage. In it sat the new uncrowned king, Edward VII. He looked sad and old. When they had said to him, "The queen is dead, long live the king," he had replied, "It has come too late, too late." I remarked to Waddy, "Queen Victoria might have sat back and let Edward reign a little before he got so old." "Carlite, it is poor taste to criticize England's queen, particularly after she is dead." "She was our queen too, Waddy. All the same, I do not think it was fair to Edward." London completely blacked herself. It was ordered so. Shops displayed nothing but black. Lampposts and buildings draped themselves in black rag, which fog soon draggled. Bus horses wore crepe rosettes on their bridles. Black bands were round the driver's arms. Cab and bus whips floated black streamers. Crepe was supremely fashionable. The flower women couldn't black the flowers, so they favored white and purple varieties, ignoring the gay ones. Dye shops did a roaring trade. So many gay garments visited them and returned sobered. The English wallowed in gloom, glutted themselves with mourning. Just an aside here. When I was in London, I was over there where they're talking about, and they do have carriages around there. And what made me think about it was St. James Park. I remember walking through there. So I know exactly what they're talking about here. I mean, the area anyway. How interesting that she was there during this part of it. I'm gonna sip a coffee first, sorry. Boy, Maggie's having a trouble today. Doesn't know what to do with herself. She's like nervous. What are you doing? She's usually the calm one, and Molly's usually the one that's sort of neurotic. Oh, now they're loving each other. Okay, that's good. Make Molly and Maggie feel good. Oh, she wants to play. Oh, now they're gonna fight. Tackle each other. Okay, back to the book. On the first Black Sunday, Marie Hall, a young violinist in our house, had asked to come to service in the Abbey with me. Young Marie, sure of herself since Kublik had kissed her and told her she was the prodigy of the day, had just bought a new hat. Bright cherry. "I don't care. It's my only hat. I shan't black it." Instead of sitting in her usual seat beside me, Mrs. Radcliffe crossed to the far side of the Abbey. After service, she whispered coldly in my ear, "How could you, Claywick? The whole loyal Abbey blacked that screaming hat." "What are you guys doing? Can you get along?" "Can I help it, Mrs. Radcliffe, if an English girl won't kill her hat in honor of her dead queen?" In the boarding house, Froeling angrily removed the green parrot. "I don't see why I should," she grumbled, rolling Polly back in his mothball wrappings, slapping a black bow in his place and sulking under it. The funeral preparations were colossal. Every royalty in Europe must be represented. Mouse-like queens no one had ever heard of came creeping to the show, and Kaiser William with his furious mustachios. Hundreds of bands throbbed dead marches, The notes dragging so slow one behind another, the tune was totally lost. London's population groaned and wept. I did not want to go to the Queen's funeral procession. Little Kindle, my cubicle neighbor in the new boarding house, begged, "Come on, you never see such another." We rose at 5. At 6, we took position in the Piccadilly end of St. James Street, front row. The procession was not due till 11. In 1 hour, we had been forced back to the 6th row by soldiers, police, and officials who planted themselves in front of us. In defiance of the law, I carried a little camp stool. By the time I was sitting tired, the crowd was too tight to permit my doubling to sit. You could not even raise an arm. St. James Street had a gentle rise. The upper crowd weighted down on those below. Air could only enter your mouth. You were too squashed to inflate. Jeez. I like how she writes. Each soul was a wedge driven into a mass as a tighter is forced into an axle handle. No, wait, let me read that again. Each soul was a wedge driven into a mass as a tightener is forced into an axe handle. Sorry. Those with seats reserved in upper windows along the route came much later than the crowd. Police tore away for them through the people. The seat holders hanging on to the bobby, the crowd surged into the gap to better their position. Gosh, I'm having trouble reading. They fought tooth and nail. Kindle! She half turned, looked, and groaned, pounded a bobby on the vertebrae, and said, "My friend, get her out, quick, Bobby!" "Way there, Lady Phaeton," shouted the policeman. A great roaring was in my ears, then nothing. I recovered, draped over an area railing in a side street. I was very sore and very bruised. "My camp stool, Kindle?" Back among the legs, rejoicing in the scoop it took out of my shin, "I told you not to bring the thing." She bound a handkerchief around her bloody stocking. "Come on," she growled. "Home? Not after we've waited this long. The mall, it's wide. Hurry up." I dragged. I know exactly how a pressed fig feels. I saw a corner of the beer. Kindle saw the Kaiser William's mustachios. Oh, the dismissal hearing of those dead march bands, which linked the interminable procession into one great sag of woe, dragging a little old woman who had fulfilled her years over miles of route march, that her people might glut themselves with woe and souse themselves in tears on seeing the flag that draped the box that held the bones of the lady who had ruled their land. I'm going to close here because I have an appointment at 9 and then I have to run to school. But I do want to say, this has been a fun reading. I kind of wish I could read it again. And maybe I will, but I found it kind of an interesting chapter. I remember when I went to Buckingham Palace when I was there. This was, which year? I think 2014. On my way back, I had done a kind of a tour to Denmark. I'd gone to the Netherlands and France and Denmark and come back, and coming back through the UK, and then I remember going up to the palace at those gates there, and I remember saying, I'm taking a selfie. I might have even been in my little red hat that you see here on this cast. And I remember taking my selfie and saying, I've been to see the Queen. And then off I went. I probably would have been a little like Emily Carr in her in her little petulant way of not paying too much attention to the royalty. I enjoy the history of it all, you know. But they're no better than anyone else, right? And might I say, as I've been eating my breakfast over this chapter, it's been the most messiest cast I've ever done. Because today, instead of having some sort of easy to eat breakfast, I had made myself some oatmeal, which I don't normally do because I'm trying to stay off all starch and grains right now. But it kept dropping everywhere. So with that, I leave you. It's a short one. I'll come back and read the next chapter, which is called English Spring. And it's a short one, so I'll probably be reading English Spring, My Sister's Visit, and Martin. Oh, Martin. I wonder if Martin... Is Martin... No, I don't know. But Martin's a little bit longer. So those three chapters will be read in the next few days. So, au revoir. Ta-ta. And... Buenos dias, have a good day, and buenas noches if you're having a good evening.